Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, everyone. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray@rte.ie. Kathleen Watkins is with us today. There's a new album of Patrick Kavanagh poems read by the great and the good of Irish entertainment and elsewhere. And Kathleen is one of the people on it, and she's coming in to tell us all about that, and we'll have a chat as well. So Bono's on it, the President's on it, Aisling B, Imelda May, Liam Neeson, and the list goes on. We'll give you a taster just to whet your appetite. Michael D. Higgins, President of Ireland, does Stony Grey Soil.
You sang on steaming dunghills a song of cards brewed. You perfumed my clothes with weasel itch. You fed me on swinish food. You flung a ditch on my vision of beauty, love and truth. Oh, stony grey soil of Monaghan, you burgled my bank of youth.
He knows how to read a poem, does the President. The surprise one for me, and we'll play it when Kathleen comes in to chat to us, is Jockey, Rachel Blackmore. Patrick Kavanagh wrote a poem called Pegasus. And of course, Pegasus, a winged horse. And somebody very creatively said, let's get a jockey to read that. And they probably didn't realise how brilliantly Rachel was going to read it. So we'll be playing a bit of that and the others as well when Kathleen comes in. And after 4 o'clock, Andrew Maxwell is in for a chat and a bit of Friday fun. He's the comedian. Yes, he is the comedian. And he has strong opinions on things like Brexit, and I'm sure he has strong opinions on the royal family, the ploughing, other things. So we'll be catching up with him. That's after 4 o'clock. And the man who won the best brown bread at the ploughing, we'll be chatting to him as well. And lots more besides, lots more besides. We like a survey on this programme. We do, yes we do, yeah. And we think you like them as well. Anyway, 2,000 adults were surveyed about what they do in public and what they're fearful of doing in public and what they're self-conscious about doing in public. And let's see if you would agree with all this. So 50%, that's half, too embarrassed to go to the cinema alone. Most of them are too embarrassed to sing aloud outdoors. I can understand that. A lot of people embarrassed to walk barefoot. I can understand that. But here's the one that I was most upset about, that the majority of the 2,000 adults surveyed were scared to pay compliments to strangers. They don't have the guts. See, that's sad, I think, because even if it's awkward and the person, you know, you're complimenting goes a bit red, they go away with a pep in their step. And you feel good about it as well. And then there's a contagion of it. And because they feel good, they might compliment somebody else. And before you know it, everyone's been complimented. Everyone has a pep in their step and everyone's smiling. That's the way the world should be. Now, I'm not the best at paying compliments. And again, just, you're fearful that you're going to say the wrong thing, or if you comment on somebody's, you know, clothes is the easy thing, I think. You know, I love your shirt, great shirt, suits you. Love your jumper. And it's easier then. I was in a cafe recently. I was waiting for a shop to open at 9:30 and I got there about 9:10. So I just looked for the nearest cafe. Anyway, found the cafe and I was there. I think I was there on my own. There were two staff and I ordered a coffee, and it was the nicest coffee I'd had in an awful long time. And I thought, this is so nice, I have to mark this occasion. So I said to the lady behind, I said, that was a delicious coffee. Thank you so much. And immediately she smiled and she said, yes, I've been doing it for 18 years. I should be good at it by now. That's not a given. Now, that's a different type of compliment because it's on her job. But still, that made me feel good. She felt good. So this weekend, if you can at all, be careful, though, because there are boundaries. Compliment a stranger, or maybe start with somebody you know and then, you know, expand it out into strangers. So 10 things we can do to get out of our comfort zone. This is on the back of this survey. Compliment a stranger. We have that. Go to the cinema alone. Walk down the street singing loudly. I don't know about that. Tell someone you love them. That's if you do. Listen to something without headphones. Walk barefoot, do yoga stretches in the park, adjust your underwear, dance in the street, and fart or burp loudly. That's that one there. No, don't say I told you to do that. That's that. Somebody else said that. Loads of great movies on the way, and we were talking about music documentaries. There's a biopic coming this Christmas, and I know Christmas is a long way away, but there'll be a big build up to this because it's Whitney Houston's biopic. It's called I Want to Dance with Someone. Naomi Aki, who you'll know from Star Wars and Doctor Who, is playing Whitney Houston, and I've seen the trailer and she looks amazing in it. So because that's in the air, The Guardian today have ranked Whitney Houston's songs. Now, I don't agree with their ranking, but we have the 10 songs there. We go through them. Let's see. Let's get the ones that we don't particularly like out of the way. Yeah, will we do that, Jess? This one, for example. But there comes a point when we excel, yeah, yeah. No, not a big fan of that. Not a big fan of that. No, not a big fan of that. We need a ballad. We need a ballad. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. They have that at number one. I have nothing. Not our number one. And remember all those hours waiting to get an answer from Telecom Aaron. Ruined that song for a lot of people. And sadly, her daughter appeared on that as well when she was just a wee baby. She had a resurgence in her career in 1999. Is that one? It's not right, but it's okay. And our top two! So what's number one? Well, I had a meeting with myself and decided, despite what the Guardian say, that this should be top of the heap when it comes to Whitney Houston songs. Ah, you know it. And I will always love you. I will always love you. Whitney Houston with a Dolly Parton song from the movie Bodyguard. Very sad. 10 years. 10 years. Whitney Houston is dead. And the biopic is coming to a cinema near you this Christmas, December 30th, the day before New Year's Eve. Now, speaking of Christmas, they've been spotted already. It's only the 23rd of September. But One Tala Home has their annual Christmas display up already, complete with Santa in the front garden and a snowman in the window. Now, usually people wait until Halloween has been done and gone. I suppose since a lot of the shops are already stocking the Christmas wares, why wait? And a lot of people are just so mad about Christmas that they get involved at the earliest opportunity. Well, one person out in Tala is doing it 23rd of September. They're ahead of themselves, some people might say. This is the maddest conversation. Yesterday we were talking about butter boards. See, all of this stuff passes me by. And I was eavesdropping on a conversation in the office today and I heard autumn wreath. Now, I've never heard of an autumn wreath before, but seemingly it's a thing. And somebody was asking, fierce excitedly, if it's the right time to put up an autumn wreath, because they were planning to do that. And somebody else says, yeah, and I'm ordering bales of hay to put out the front door. So I don't know if you know anything about autumn wreaths or adorning your house and your door in the lead up to Halloween. Is it a Halloween thing or is it not? Or is it a pre-Halloween thing? Or what's going on in the world? Autumn wreaths. Butter boards. Let them off. Let them off. 51551. I agree about giving compliments to strangers. Do it. I was complimented twice in one day about my hair and I felt good for the day. See, I agree with what you're saying. This morning, the window cleaner in our office remarked how nice my perfume was. I told him it was probably the product he was using, but he said no, it was perfume as I passed him. He put a smile on my face. That's Sheila in Kilkenny. And if you want to go to the cinema alone, go in the morning or early afternoon, much less intimidating than an evening viewing. Does anybody realise? You see, this is the thing. Nobody's paying attention to you. And I know that's easy for me to say and it's difficult to get into your head, but nobody realises that you're on your own in the cinema. They don't. They're not looking around and counting the chairs and looking at you and pointing at you. No, they're too busy ordering the popcorn or having a row with their girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever they're doing. But they're not worrying about you being on your own. So just do it. Just do it. Now, finally, this came into RadRTE.ie, a lovely email from Paul and Moira Skelly. And Paul was on the Reeling in the Ears quiz. The prize was a two-night stay in the River Lee Hotel in Cork. Anyway, he says, we booked to celebrate my wife's Moira birthday. Unfortunately, we had to cancel at short notice as our daughter, Kira, aged 27, fell and broke her hip. And we had to spend 6 weeks with her in hospital. Kira has special needs, and I think Paul told us that when he was on, has limited mobility and is mainly a wheelchair user. She requires 24/7 care as she suffers from epilepsy, cerebral palsy and has limited speech. She is a doubly incontinent and has to be fed. I could go on, but I won't. Anyway, the reason Paul and Moira got on to us is to say a big thank you to the River Lee Hotel. We can only get away for a break when Kira goes in for respite. Respite is not very frequent since COVID and for a very short period of 3 days usually. However, we got a call from the respite provider and they asked if we would be interested in 3 nights of respite. I immediately got onto the River Lee Hotel explaining our situation and they booked us in for the 2 nights, 19th to the 21st of September. They booked us in and looked after us really well. We loved our stay. The food was great. The cocktails were amazing. Just what the doctor ordered. And the staff were very attentive without knowing our situation. I could not recommend this hotel enough. So I want to say a big thank you to all the staff in the hotel. They're so professional and friendly. I don't know if this is a big ask or a bit cheeky, but if you could, would you give the staff of the River Lee Hotel a mention and a big thank you from us to them? Thank you, thank you, thank you, says Paul and Moira Skelly. You see, and that's complimenting strangers. See, it's all part of the theme today. One final thing. Boy George, yeah, him of Culture Club fame, is selling his house. What a gaff. Boy George puts his 6-bed, 5-bath London mansion up for sale for €19 million. He has owned the Grade 2 listed property since the mid-1980s. After Culture Club had their first hit. Now, I didn't know he was that wealthy, you know, because he had a few hits. And then I was thinking, you know, well, he bought it back in the 1980s. He probably got it for a song. Do you really want to hurt me? Get it for a song. He bought it for a song. No? Okay. It's an amazing looking house. It's a listed building. Built in 1868. 500 square metres of living space. And oftentimes when you see inside the houses of the rich and famous, you're disappointed because, you know, money can't buy taste or class. But wow, you should go on and have a look at this because it's so tastefully done. It's amazing. You just get house envy. Very interestingly, he had split it into several properties and he had Marty Feldman, you know, comedian Marty Feldman. He lived there for a while, singer Sam Smith, but he's now turned it back into a single home and he's refurbished it and it's on the market now for £17 million, or if you have €19 million in your back pocket, you can buy The Logs, it's called, The Logs. You might want to change the name from Boy George, also known as George O'Dowd. His mum was Irish, wasn't it? Yeah. I completely agree with your top two, says Dr. Teresa Kenny. Thank you very much, Teresa. I want to dance with somebody and I will always love you. Complimenting a stranger is no problem for me, but receiving one is even nicer. A lady stopped me when I was leaving a cafe to tell me I have gorgeous freckles. It made my day, especially as I hated them when I was a child. That's lovely. And on autumnal or autumn reeds, they're definitely a thing, Ray, as are spring, summer and winter ones. They cheer up the front door greatly. We have a range of reeds in our house, says Gráinne. She has all the seasons there. Now, it's time to tell you about our daily quiz, Reeling in the Ears. And we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and answer three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And the prize this week comes from our friends in Brooks Hotel, right smack in the middle of Dublin. They're celebrating 25 years in business. And to mark this, they've given us a two-night stay for two people and dinner on one of the nights in their famous Francesca's restaurant. It's situated on Drury Street, so you're just a walk, a stone's throw from Grafton Street, and all that area is lovely and developed. There's loads of restaurants and shops and all that sort of thing. Brookshotel.ie, and they've developed or put together excellent short break celebratory packages for this autumn. Brookshotel.ie. Here is today's qualifying question. Don't Worry Darling is in cinemas this weekend. It stars a very famous singer. Is it Harry Styles or Harry Unfashionable? So, Don't Worry Darling stars Harry Styles or Harry Unfashionable. 0818715925, 0818715925, and good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Friday, September 30th at the National Concert Hall, the National Symphony Orchestra teams up with the phenomenal Maxime Vengerov for two great violin showpieces. Ravel's Tzigane and Prokofiev's First Violin Concerto. Alongside, nearly a century after it was written, the world premiere of Ina Boyle's Second Symphony, The Dream of the Rood. David Brophy conducts, cnch.ie.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Bridget has been on. She says, I'm not great on the cinema alone, but I go to the theatre on my own all the time. I also go overseas on holidays alone. It's great. You can do your own thing, says Bridget. Now, we were down at the Ploughman on Tuesday, and one of the big competitions taking place off the field and in a tent was the Aldi National Brown Bread Baking Competition in association with Irish Country Women's Association and the National Ploughing Association. That's a mouthful of brown bread there. Well, yesterday, the Bread Bake Off competition took place at the Ploughing for the first time in 3 years, and Dara O'Brien from Nason County Kildare emerged victorious.
Hi, congratulations. Ray, how are you?
How are you doing, Dara?
Good fellow Kildare man.
Yes, yeah. Not only did you win, but you're the first man in the history of the competition to be crowned.
So I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing. It was an amazing occasion. Amazing. I did not expect to be speaking to yourself today, Ray, I have to say.
No, it's been
on the 6 o'clock show, I swear. I did not expect any of that. So I blame my wife for all this kind of stuff. She actually told me to enter it. So,
did she? Right.
She did. I didn't actually know really about it to a degree because Carol, my wife, follows Sheila Shoga on Instagram, and Sheila, I think, promotes it for Aldi, and I only thought my wife ever liked my brown bread. I did not expect to win the competition against the amazing competition there. It's quite competitive, so incredibly fortunate to have been chosen.
Yeah, so Carol is your wife. She encouraged you to do it. She obviously likes your brown bread, but then that's what our partners are for, aren't they? To compliment you on things like that, even if they're not too nice, and you don't really know if they're telling the truth or not. But anyway, on this occasion, Carol was telling the truth.
She was, yeah. She knows it obviously better than I do, I tell you.
And it's a big competition, isn't it? Because there's a you don't just rock up on the day with a loaf of brown bread under your arm. There's a process.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, you submit it to, I'm from Nace, so I submitted it to the Nace head office and got a phone call from Michelle at Aldi and, meet the fellow contestants there. And I did not realise, obviously I'm not part of the Irish Women's Country Association, but to each county does their own competition.
Nice.
And then they do a national one amongst themselves. And then, I can't believe I won it in that sense because, obviously it's such high competition and
yes,
everyone is very excellent at what they do. And sure.
Before we get to more details about the competition, tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm from Naas in Kildare, run my own surveying and legal mapping practice. I'm a consultant with the IDA, do all that kind of help with their conveyancing and their mapping.
Right.
My wife, Carol, she runs her own speech and drama school here in Naas, and she has her own production company kind of for theatre and stuff. So she's a screenplay writer, actress. And
right.
They're hoping actually to her and her friend Helen are hopefully going to be in the Olympia next year with a play about the show band era.
Okay, so right.
Hopefully we'll talk to her next year, instead of me.
Well done on the plug there. that's brownie points there, Dara. Well done on that.
Cheers, Ray. You know, my wife's the boss in this house, though, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So now your brown bread making credentials, where do they come from?
I suppose I'm big into food. Like, I read about food. Just watch the like Sky Sports and the Food Channel or the station on my house. And my granddad, I suppose, was a baker.
Yeah.
My sister is a home ec teacher. My mum obviously is a great cook and baker. And my brother-in-law runs his own sausage company, Lockdown
right,
Sausages.
Right. Okay.
So we're all into food. And my brother is a big cook as well. So we all talk about food, and we're all into it, really. So I suppose from that point of view, I've always been cooking at home and things like that. So
And is this a recipe that's been handed down from generation to generation, or is it something you've cobbled together yourself?
I was supposed to be quite traditional in that sense, that obviously my mum or whatever, but obviously I have lots of cookbooks and be trying things throughout the years and stuff, and trying to figure out what I suppose Cara likes. So she likes a bit of a sweeter one and not too much molasses or treacle in it, because it can be quite heavy. So
right.
I kind of tinkering with it over the years, and yeah, lucky enough I've chosen, so it's amazing.
Now the details of the prize, it's a quite an impressive prize, isn't it? Like, cash of what?
That's incredible, right? Like, you're in 157 Aldi stores across the country and win a few quid as well. Like,
no, 15,000. That's more than a few quid. 15,000 euro.
Yeah, this will go towards the electricity bill, I suppose.
Yes.
And
so will it say that, you know, this brown bread is made by Dara O'Brien?
My face will be on it, I think.
Right.
But it's made by Stapleton. They make the bread for Aldi and things like that. So I think it goes down to Tipperary to be made by the professionals who know exactly what they're doing, not someone like
but
me.
But it's your recipe.
Yeah. Yeah, so the guys will make it according to my recipe, exactly, yeah.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing. It's incredible. I was just cooking at home like on Monday, and now sure I'm talking to you about my bread with an Aldi store. It's mad. It really is mad.
Okay, well, people are going to be mad to get their hands on your recipe. Are you allowed to share it now, or have you signed some
no
NDA?
Secret,
it's an NDA.
It's going to be in the store, so it's not no secret no more. Really, to be honest, it's just strong white flour, wholemeal flour, sugar, bicarb, salt, a bit of butter, and buttermilk, and it's thrown in the oven and it comes out. I mean, I suppose I do a little, I cook it at a higher temperature, about 15 minutes, and then I cook it for another 20 minutes at a medium temperature, like 170, just to get a bit of a crust on it and have it nice and soft in the middle. So that's really
no, but there's water someplace as well. I read in the Irish Times.
Oh yeah, yes. Well, it's so, like, obviously reading about food. Like, don't quote me on this. It's kind of things I've been reading about. Like, I throw a bit of water into the bottom of the oven and it creates steam. And apparently, from like French boulangeries, it creates steam, which gives it a good crust on their bread.
Okay.
I know it's baguettes and stuff like that, and it's in bigger and more professional ovens. But listen, it obviously works
How much water are we talking about?
Oh no, like about three capfuls of water, just to give it the steam, which then apparently some molecules attach to the bread and it gives it a good crust. So I don't know, but that's what I read anyway.
Yeah, well, you see, you're scientific. You're from a scientific background, aren't you? Because that's your job.
Well, no, I suppose I did land law. I suppose is one of my supposed qualifications. It's not necessarily scientific.
Okay,
I love food. Reading about food, how different parmesan is made or mozzarella is made or whatever it is, so just interested in things like that, you know, so big into food.
So this could be the start of something for you, Dara.
Yeah, who knows, like, obviously I have a big passion for it, and I've been so fortunate enough to be part of Aldi's now, you know, stores and stuff, so who knows what the future holds. Maybe
we better mention your three finalists, the three people you beat, Faith Ekenrew, Maeve Louie, and Loretta Maguire. So they were the
incredible competition,
yeah.
And such lovely people, and everyone I've met from the contestants, incredibly generous, lovely people. And same with Aldi, and the people, the staff there are just incredible. And so fortunate they were hosted, Carol and I, just amazingly. So grateful to them for everything over the last couple of days.
Do you reckon you'll get more visitors now at the house? Long lost friends, extended family.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends going. I want to try this. My brother was saying he wants it delivered by me. He doesn't want to buy it himself. He wants me to make it. So. I got to make it for my brother pretty soon.
Right. Well, congratulations. Dara O'Brien from Naas and County Kildare is the National Brown Bread Baking Champion. Yo! Well done.
Thanks, Ray.
See you, Dara. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hello. 51551, Ray at RTE.ie. Delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Kathleen Watkins. Good afternoon, Kathleen.
Good afternoon, Ray. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, and lovely to see you.
Thank you very much.
You know, because after that's all behind us now, it's in the rearview mirror, lockdown and all that, and we're here.
I know.
A big hug there at the start.
I know, it's wonderful. Yeah. We can all hug and we can get out and about as never before.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so wonderful, such a change for everybody. I feel, however, so badly for people who lost somebody in the lockdown, because we gave Gay a terrific send-off, and then a few months later there was lockdown. People never got a chance to say goodbye, you know, so I think of them a lot.
And the other people I feel sorry for are people who never recovered, you know, that it knocked their confidence. And because we were in lockdown for so long and they couldn't leave the house, that they found it difficult
to get back out. And they
have
ongoing problems. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to be coping with. Some people got such a very bad bout of it, you know. I have to say, I didn't get anything at all.
Nothing.
Amazing. Nothing. Right. No. And so many people I know, including one of my daughters, got it very badly for 11 days. And one of my friends got it at the same time. It was really a killer. But I never got anything.
And how about getting back into it? You know, because after lockdown and getting out and crowds and all that, you're okay with all of that, were you?
Well, I didn't go on the dart for a long time, and I didn't go to theatres or film. I think that may have saved me, you know. Even when we were allowed to go places, I kind of held back a bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm out and about now.
Great.
Raring to go.
And you're recording Patrick Kavanagh poems. Well, just one.
Yes.
So Patrick Kavanagh, Almost Everything, is out today on Clatter Records. And they've gathered up the great and the good of Irish showbiz and beyond to read Patrick Kavanagh's, I suppose somebody decided they were his best poems. Or did you get to choose the one you wanted to do?
I chose In Memory of My Mother.
Right.
He wrote two pieces in memory of his mother, one more beautiful than the other. I love when the poets write about family. Seamus Heaney wrote about his mother, the sonnets after the death of his mother. And Patrick Kavanagh wrote also a piece, Every Old Man I See Reminds Me of My Father.
Yes.
And then The Christmas Childhood was sheer magic, you know. So it's they well, paint
don't
such
do
pictures.
It for us yet. Don't do it for us yet.
Because
I'm going to build up to it. I'm going to
because
I know from the past that people love hearing you read poetry live on the radio, because it's not something that happens that often anymore.
Well, unfortunately, I would love to think somebody was reading a poem every day. I'm that keen. And the other thing is that so many of our people are writing, so many men and women whose names are not known, and they're all out there writing, and so many of them have won prizes for their writing.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's...
Well, here's the thing, because I'd be one of these people, it's not that I'm indifferent, but I always thought that poetry wasn't for me. And I think there's a lot of people listening who might be in the same camp as me.
Well, what
do you say to them?
I know, Ray. Yeah. Don't you remember your poems from when we were at school? Patrick Cullum's Old Woman of the Roads. Do you remember that? Patrick Cullum was here a few weeks after the opening of Irish television.
Right.
And a rumour went round, Patrick Cullum is coming up the stairs. And some said, how could Patrick Cullum be coming up the stairs? He's dead. Well, he wasn't.
Right.
He wasn't. He came into our studio. He was a delight to me. It was absolutely fantastic. And can I tell you my story? He was just about to be interviewed by somebody and he had a horn of hair sticking up on his head. And there was a lot of elbow language. You tell him. And I said, I'll tell him myself. So I said, excuse me, Mr. Cullum, we can't let you go on air. There's a piece of hair sticking up. And he said, would you put it down for me?
Right.
So I have it to say, I smoothed down the head of the poet.
Hey!
That's my story.
That's your claim to fame.
That's my favourite story.
Well, one of many claims to fame. So they got the great, the good. So the president is there. I played the president already. He does Stony Grey Soil. It's interesting because if you look at the ranking, track one is given to Bono. Track two to the president, then Liam Neeson, and then I think you're number five, are you? So you're up there. You're up there. Which one would you like to hear now first? Do you want to hear Bono? He does On Raglan Road.
I'd love that.
Yes. Yeah, we'll play a little. It's not the full poem now, it's just an excerpt.
Okay.
On Raglan Road, on an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I may one day rue. I saw the danger, yet I walked along the enchanted way. I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day.
That's beautiful, isn't it? It really is. And she was real. you know, she was a real person that he fell for. But I think that's beautifully read, isn't it, really?
And he's doing excerpts from his memoir, his biography, which is out in October. And
yes.
He's a good reader.
I can't wait for the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, we were talking just before we went on air about Jessie Buckley.
Yes.
And she's a star. And you're saying that Gay saw her a long time...
He saw her once a very long time back. And he came home and he said, remember the name Jessie Buckley. Yeah. She's going to be huge.
Yeah.
He just thought this was a star. Now, You don't say that about many people, but everybody knows she is as she is, and she can do everything and anything. She's so talented.
Would he come home often and say, because he knew, he spotted stardom, didn't he? He was good at that.
Yes, yes, he did. He would say that's one to watch, but he was always saying that we all speak much too fast.
It's funny
there's
you say
no
that.
Rush.
Because Olivia O'Leary was on after the death of Queen Elizabeth II was announced, and she was remembering reading something for her when she was in the convention centre, and they were doing rehearsals, and Gay was there because I think he was the MC on the night.
He was.
And she told the story about going over to Gay and saying, "What do you think?" And guess what Gay said? Read it more slowly.
Exactly.
Yes, and then he said, and when you read it at that pace, go again, read it more slowly again. Yes, so that was his advice. So here is Jessie Buckley and Epic.
I have lived in important places. Times when great events were decided. Who owned that half a rood of rock, a no man's land surrounded by our pitchfork-armed claims? I heard the Duffys shouting, "Damn your soul!" An old McCabe, stripped to the waist, seen step the plot, defying blue cast steel. Here is the march along these iron stones. That was the year of the Munich bother. Which was more important?
Mm. Wonderful.
Yeah. There's a lovely...
I follow her closely. I think everything she does is just perfect.
And she can sing and she's nice with it.
Act, everything.
There's a lovely rhythm to Patrick Kavanagh's poetry.
Well, that's what I love about poetry that I really enjoy. It's the rhythm and the movement. And it's just amazing when you get that flowing in the lines. And again, painting the pictures. I mean, as she spoke there, she was painting pictures with her voice. You know, just huge enjoyment all around.
Now, we're going to get to you in a moment. I'm just looking here at Rachel Blackmore's because she is the only non-performer.
Yes.
On the album. You know, she's a jockey who's achieved one or two things in her career. So Pegasus is the poem, and because the horse and the wings, they obviously asked Rachel. And I think you're going to be hugely pleasantly surprised by this. This is Rachel Blackmore and her reading Patrick Kavanagh's Pegasus.
My soul was an old horse, offered for sale in 20 fairs. I offered him to the church. The buyers were little men who feared his unusual airs. One said, "Let him remain unbid in the wind and rain and hunger of sin, and we'll get him with the winkers thrown in for nothing." Then the men of state looked at what I'd bought for sale. One minister wondering if another horse body would fit the tale that he'd kept for sentiment, the relic of his own soul. Said, "I will graze him in lieu of his labour." I lent him for a week or more, and he came back a hurdle of bones, starved, overworked, in despair. I nursed him on the roadside grass to shape him for another fair.
That is superb.
Isn't it?
That's a knockout. That's absolutely wonderful.
It's from
the heart.
Yeah, it is from the heart.
I hate having to follow that.
No, we won't. We won't ask you to. We'll put something else in between. So we have Patrick Kavanagh himself doing October. We've Liam Neeson, right? And you were mentioning about parents, and you're going to do...
In Memory of My Mother?
Yeah, so In Memory of My Father is read by Liam Neeson.
Every old man I see reminds me of my father, and he had fallen in love with death one time when sheaves were gathered. That man I saw on Gardiner Street stumbled on the curb was one. He stared at me half-eyed. I might have been his son.
Liam Neeson.
Isn't that so lovely?
Yeah.
Just
what
just
a voice.
Lovely. Beautiful. Beautiful.
The timbre, and he just fills the thing. No pressure, Kathleen.
Not at all.
So we're talking to Kathleen Watkins. Patrick Kavanagh, Almost Everything, is available today on Clatter Records. You can go to Spotify and listen to him as well. So one side are his poems read by Kathleen and Liam Neeson and Jesse Buckley and Rachel Blackmore. And the other side is the poet himself reading his poetry. We'll get to one of those. But first, Kathleen, when you're ready, take your time.
In Memory of My Mother by Patrick Kavanagh. I do not think of you lying in the wet clay of a Monaghan graveyard. I see you walking down a lane among the poplars on your way to the station, or happily going to second mass on a summer Sunday. You meet me and you say, "Don't forget to see about the cattle." Among your earthiest words, the angels stray. And I think of you walking along a headland of green oats in June, so full of repose, so rich with life. And I see us meeting at the end of a town on a fair day by accident, after the bargains are all made and we can walk together through the shops and stalls and markets, free in the oriental streets of thought. Oh, you are not lying in the wet clay, for it is a harvest evening now, and we are piling up the ricks against the moonlight. And you smile up at us eternally.
Well done.
I did my best.
No, that was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, you couldn't have done it better if you'd done 15 takes. That was the one. That was the one. That was the one.
Well, there's always the fear of a stumble.
Yes,
you know?
Of course. I'm interested to know that, like, because we mentioned, you know, Gay giving advice to Olivia O'Leary. Would he be in your head a little bit?
Well, yeah, yes, always, because even I say to my grandchildren, if they're doing speech and drama exams, you know, and they would say, "Rara," they called him, remember what Rara said, no rush,
yeah. But of course, when the nerves kick in, that's, you know.
You see, that is the thing, the nerves get, and you start gabbling and then rushing to get it over. Yeah. And the other thing that we all do is drop our voices. We're talking about something and then we drop the last line, we drop our voices a bit.
Fade away.
So they're not as clear, the last words, as the earlier ones.
Yes, you know what I mean? We were talking to a lady recently about poetry, and there's a collection of poetry around death. It's done by the Hospice and Poetry Ireland. Anyway, the last poem in the book is Begin by Brendan Kennelly. Now, you remember that, don't you? When Brendan was on with Gay on The Late Late Show.
Yes, I do, yes.
What are your memories of that? Would you have watched it at home?
I saw him so many times, Brendan. I just can't quite remember
that.
No,
I'll remind you. So it came to the end of the show. Brendan was the last guest. And as happened at the end of The Late Late Show, there was a
tragedy, yes, or somebody had died. And Gay turned to Brendan to produce something, just and which he did. It was just one of those amazing moments.
Yes.
Just so special and extraordinary. What a thing to cope with live on air, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I mean, Brendan was just terrific. He was so humble. He had such amazing use of language. And I remember when Gay got his doctorate in Trinity, Brendan organised the entertainment and he was glowing with happiness, you know.
Yeah.
I envy those who were his students at Trinity, because I'm sure they had a wonderful time with him.
I'm sure he brought everything to life. Niamh, who works on the show, came in one day and she said, "I have found a Gay Byrne album. Do you want it?" In a secondhand record shop. And I said, I never knew he recorded an album. And I said, of course I want it. So I revoluted her the money and she brought it in only last week.
Really?
So it was Gay Byrne, The Humours of John D. Sheridan.
Oh, do you remember that? He loved John D. Sheridan. I mean, John D. Sheridan wrote the most beautiful, wonderful pieces. I wish we could, again, as well as reading a poem every day of the year, we could read, somebody could read a John D. Sheridan. I mean, there was the one about the old couple, the two men walking down the street, and one of them said to the other, "The old Mott is not too well." And that those words said so much. Yes, you know, yeah. It was just
And there's another one, because I've listened to it now. Unfortunately, the quality on the album isn't great, right? I listened to one about where he talks about the word owl. You know,
and that's he, right.
The
yeah.
owl man
looking the over
owl
the bike, hedge.
Yes, and
that's
then he,
right,
and
yes.
the owl dote, and all the different meanings that owl can have.
Yes,
and,
yes,
but,
yes.
But there's a great story. I'm reminding you about it. How that came to pass was that Gay was working with Granada at the time, and he was doing live television, and some guest cancelled, so there was a 6 minute hole at the beginning of the show, and Gay had been reading the essays of John D. Sheridan.
Oh, I see.
And one particular one, just one little word, which was about owl. He'd rehearsed it himself at home, as he probably would have. And he suggested to the producer,
"I remember,
I can get on and read this."
I remember one bit of that, because it was like somebody looking over the hedge for a while. And then after a while, they'd say, "I don't suppose there's any chance of getting a end of that owl mowing machine."
That's right, yeah. You know, that owl wheelbarrow, yes.
And
yes,
that,
yes,
oh, yes, that the word owl took from the shame of asking.
Yes, that was it. Yes, so Gay went on and filled 6 minutes of television by reading this thing. It went down a bomb, and as a result, the album was recorded.
Yes, yeah.
So we found a little bit. This is the one we could
wonderful.
Find. Yeah, and it's Gay Byrne, The Humours of John D. Sheridan, and I Know How You Feel. And this is John D. Sheridan getting inside the mind of a woman, a mother, who has just left her little child off for the first day at school. So here we go.
You're a sensible woman, so you turned on your heel and walked away. Not too sensible, however, for you took one look back as you walked up the corridor, and you saw that he was looking back too, with a little lost look, as he went into the classroom to join his regiment. Something happened to your heart then. You told the woman next door over the railings that you didn't know whether you were laughing or crying, but you knew well enough, and she knew. You were crying, and you had good reason. For the thing that happened to your heart when you left him will never be put wholly right.
That's lovely isn't that, to hear that.
Yeah.
And it brings back so many memories of John Dee. I was reading them, even in the lockdown, I was reading some of them again. And there's one about the turkey at Christmas time, and you go to the butcher, you know, and he has them hanging, and he gives you one, but you know that he has better ones in the back for his pal, you know, and you get it home, and then you can't get it into the tin, and you have to cut off the legs, all that.
I'm going to go and try and find the originals of those, because On Stealing a Turkey was that one. And there's a letter to Santa in it as well, and there's loads of other ones there. Christmas parties and paper hats. So it must have been released around Christmas time. It says here 1985.
Yes, I have a number of the books.
Oh, do you? Yes.
Do
you have the original album?
No,
don't.
I don't.
Okay,
no,
right. We'll see if we can locate that. How is everybody at home? How is Cronin and Susie and the grandchildren? Everybody good?
They're all in terrific form, yes. Yes. Great form. We have somebody doing Leaving Cert this year, which is just amazing. My 18-year-old grandson is a giant, 6'1", so we better all look out.
Yeah, I met Susie coming out of here one day, and she's working on something,
yes,
the letters.
She's working on Dear Gay Letters, right. And she's putting together a book. There's a fair amount of work in it, because, of course, the archive here is huge, and to get letters from all the different times, like the time the girl died at the grotto, all of that.
Yes, yeah.
So there's a lot to work on. So she's working away on it. She's been working very hard on it.
How is she finding it? I suppose it's bringing home to her the place that her dad held in this country.
Yes, you see, but she was at school, so there's an awful lot of the stuff she wouldn't have known about.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting for her. She's been in here in the archive getting great assistance and so on. And I had no idea there was quite such a big archive. Apparently it's huge, you know. But then we have our own archive in a way at home with all the bits and pieces. Like I have the typewriter and his cameras and all those things. So the grandchildren are grabbing the various things. Well, that's not true to say that, but I give them different things that they will have, you know.
Mementos.
Mementos, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
So this summer would have been the first summer, I suppose, you've been out without Gay.
It was. It was really fantastic. We were in Donegal for a while with all the old gang, and then we were in Kerry, and then I was in Leitrim with my old school friend Florence Berwick. Florence will be dying if she hears her name on the air. But
that's it. She's Scarlet. Yeah.
Our beds were together in Sandhill, Fado. Right. So yes, it's been a good summer. It's been the best summer I think for everybody, but at this moment in time, I'm very mindful that we have huge numbers of people who are homeless. And I did a clean out of my wardrobe and got stuff to charity shops, because there are a lot of people who are homeless and they can't afford clothes. They have nothing. Mm. So let's, ladies out there, get the wardrobes, get the stuff out. You don't need half of it, a quarter of it, and get it to where it will be put to good use.
Great.
Thank you for allowing me.
Yes,
to say that.
No, that's almost everything. Patrick Kavanagh, almost everything. And you heard Kathleen is recorded. Probably won't be as good as the live one, but there you go. And they're all there. The President, Bono, Liam Neeson, Lisa McGee is there. We'll give Lisa McGee a blast. She's the lady who created Derry Girls.
Oh, yes, of course. We're
and Inniskeen Road, and she's from up that neck of the woods.
Yes,
so
it's a lovely
nice to hear
northern
that accent.
Voice.
Yes, here we go.
The bicycles go by in twos and threes. There's a dance in Billy Brennan's barn tonight, and there's the half-taught code of mysteries and the wink and elbow language of delight. 8:30, and there is not a spot upon a mile of road, no shadow thrown that might turn out a man or woman, not a footfall tapping secrecies of stone.
That's lovely, isn't it?
I'd forgotten that one.
Kathleen Watson is a beautiful person, and I wish her peace, joy and happiness always. That's Mike in Inishtig in County Kilkenny. And Kathleen is beyond compare. She adds a touch of magic to everything she touches. Beautifully read, Kathleen. We could hear you loud and clear, says Paul. And lovely segment about Patrick Kavanagh. I'm an English teacher in Eindhoven in the Netherlands. I use the poetry of Kavanagh often. Students of all ages, even in Holland, can relate to his words. That's Cleona.
Oh, that's lovely, Ray. Yeah. Thank you very much.
No, it's great to see you in such good spirits.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for the hug. Kathleen Watkins, thank you very much.
Lovely to be here.
Yeah, lovely.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gramaga, Kathleen, thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 51551ray@rte.ie. Just a few texts from the first hour we didn't get to. My fabulous wife Louise decorates our house for every season. People tell us they love passing our house. It puts a smile on their face. At present, all the autumnal boxes are down, says Tony in Clondalkin. And speaking of complimenting strangers, when my dear mum died at 95, it fell on me to sort through the mountains of cards and letters she'd left behind. Among them were a few thank you notes from cleaners and chambermaids appreciating the fact that she'd learned their names, remember them and thank them for their hard work. One said that she used to feel invisible and that my mum had made her feel seen. Isn't that lovely? That's Catherine in Sligo. And I've started complimenting people if I like their clothes or hair, and it's great to see the reaction on their faces. It's often so unexpected for them. It's nice to get a compliment too, even if we do go scarlet, as you say. My German girlfriend told me they love freckles in Germany and call them sun kisses, says Eamon, for anybody who's self-conscious about their freckles. Now, exciting news for David Walliams fans. He has a new book out, Space Boy. It's out next week. That's exciting. But more exciting for us is that we have an interview with him on Monday. And we're looking for you to ask him a few questions. It's always brilliant when his fans ask him questions, because they know what to ask David Walliams. They know how to push the buttons. So if you have a question for David Walliams, if you're a fan and you want to ask him about his books or Britain's Got Talent or whatever, get them into us now. So you can email your questions if you want to write them to ray@rte.ie. So ray@rte.ie. If there's somebody in your life that may be not listening to the radio now but is a fan, you can talk to them over the weekend and get the question into us at ray@rte.ie. Or even better, this would be even better because we are radio and we're an aural audio medium. If you could record yourself or the David Walliams fan in your life asking the question as a voice note and send it to us via WhatsApp. And here's the number. Have you got a pen and paper at the ready? Here's the number. 087-114-7899. 087-114-7899. And the more bizarre, the better. The more entertaining and original, the more likely you are to get your question on air. So questions for David Walliams, ray@rte.ie, or if you're sending us a voice note, and we'd love to hear those, 087-114-7899. 087-114-7899. Thank you for that. Quiz time! Yep, we have two quizzers standing by to answer three questions on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we have a prize. And it's thank you very much to the Books Hotel in the middle of Dublin. They're celebrating 25 years and they've given us two nights with dinner on one evening in Francesca's restaurants to give away. It's right there, smack in the middle of Dublin City, opposite Drury Street car park. So no problem with the car. Brookshotel.ie. They've put together some excellent short break celebratory packages for this autumn. Brookshotel.ie. Hello, David Kilkenny in Ballyhaunus. How are you? Yeah, it's good. I have a bit of the Friday feeling. How about yourself?
Not too bad. No, we're doing well down here.
Yeah. You were at the ploughing on Wednesday.
I was, surely. Yeah, sure. I was mad busy.
Yeah. Wednesday was the 115,000 people.
Yeah, and I seen every one of them. I nearly bumped into most of them.
Yeah, well, did you get there early?
No, we've a young baby in the house, so it took a while to get going early in the morning now to get things organised.
What age is the baby?
She's 5 months now.
Right, okay, yeah. So how was the sleepless nights going for you?
No, we're over them. No, we're not too bad. Like, it's kind of, she doesn't wake up till around 6:30 in the morning. So
that's not too bad.
You can't complain at that. Like.
No, you'd be getting up anyway, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, well, that's kind of handy to say with the alarm clock.
Yeah, and what's her name?
Layla Rose.
Layla Rose. And what's your partner's name?
Leanne,
okay.
Leanne Tynan, yeah.
And what's your connection to the ploughing? Are you a farmer or what?
Well, I am, yeah. Well, say, kind of, we're beef farmers down here in Mayo, and we're only asking a small way. Like, when you go up there, you realise how big all the machinery and all that's getting for the east of the country.
Yeah, yeah. And would you be a Whitney Houston fan, or what sort of music do you like?
Not exactly. No, I wouldn't consider myself one. But no. I'm not against her now or anything. But
no, no.
I wouldn't just pick her. I was number one.
You've mentioned bands that I haven't heard of before: the Tumbling Paddies and the Whistling Donkeys.
Yeah, well, they've been more now. They've been more up my street. But
right. And are they Irish or? Who?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. They're. For a man in Donegal, like, but they were playing there in the Plough Wednesday as well. As
right,
happened,
I must look them up. Tumbling Paddies and the Whistling Donkeys. Yeah, they owe you some money now for getting a mention on RT Radio
sure,
1.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. You're up against Shane Hogan, who's in Limerick. How are you doing, Shane?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. You're coming in loudly and clearly, Shane.
That's good.
You're taking advice from Gay Byrne and speaking slowly. Yes.
I was. And I'm pulled over at the side of the road with my two daughters on our way to music class.
Right. It starts here, doesn't it? And it continues for the whole weekend. The taxi.
Absolutely.
The taxi. Yeah.
My full-time job is only a part-time job. My full-time job is really a taxi driver.
Yeah. And what is your full-time job?
I'm a school teacher, secondary school teacher.
Right.
Down in CBS. Charleville, County Cork.
Uh-huh. And what do you teach?
I teach tech drawing, religion, mathematics.
Right. And right across the board, I was going to say...
Right across the board.
Yeah,
first
year's
up to 6 years.
Yeah. What's your favourite subject to teach, Shane?
I'd say religion.
Yeah, right.
You're getting down to the fundamental questions of life there.
Yeah, well, it's about life really, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's about life and what's it all for, right?
Yeah, what's it all about and what do they think and where are they going in life and what's the meaning in life? Oh, big questions.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So music lessons, what instruments?
I have Eliza heading off to a flute lesson and I have Rita heading off to oboe lesson and orchestra and all of that.
Look at you.
We have 10 children now and they've all taken up the music somewhere along the way. Yeah.
Hold on, you have 10 children?
I do, yeah. So Rita is in fact number 7 and Eliza is in fact number 8. So we're coming towards the end of the line now.
Right. So what age is the eldest then?
25 going on 26, yeah.
And the youngest?
6.
My word. Yeah, because it's like back in the day when I was a kid, like if you'd said to somebody you had 10 children in the family, they wouldn't have batted an eyelid. But in 2022, right. It's a big family, Shane.
It is, yeah. And I'm the youngest of 10 too, but we never planned it. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. Fair enough. And does everybody, you nearly have an orchestra there if everybody plays. And is that why you're there on the flute and the oboe? You're just filling up the gaps, are you?
Well, yeah. We've often looked at the Coors and the Von Trapp family and other examples. And we're thinking maybe we could make something out of them, yeah.
The Hogans, right, okay. So it's Shane Hogan versus David Kilkenny. Three questions each. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. If you go for a shorter clip, you get 2 points. And if it's a draw at the end on points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Good luck, David. Thank you.
Cheers.
Right, David. The year is 2009, which is what, 13 years ago? And we're starting on the telly. Do you want a long clip or a short clip?
Short clip.
This sitcom, which debuted in 2009, had an ensemble cast and was presented as a mockumentary. The story revolved around the connections between the show's patriarch. Can you name it? Lots in that.
I'm hip. I surf the web. I text. LOL. Laugh out loud. OMG. Oh my God. WTF. Why the face?
Not a clue.
Not a clue. A sitcom. It debuted in 2009. No notion.
Not a clue.
Modern Family. Modern Family.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Okay, fair enough. Early days. Shane, to you. Television from 2009. Do you want to go short or long?
I better go long.
You're going to go long? Okay. This American show set in a high school was known for its choral covers of popular songs.
Good, guys. It's a 9. We need a 10. Rachel, you need to hit the ones in the 5s. Finn, I think if we worked on it, you could hit a high B.
So does this mean you're staying?
It would kill me to see you win nationals without me.
Hey. What's the name of the TV program?
Haven't a clue.
No, right. Glee. Okay, so that's an even start. We're on to music from 2009. David, let's see what you can do with this. Do you want a long or a short?
A short one again.
Short one again. Okay, this was the first solo single from the former girl band member. It was number one in Ireland for 4 weeks. Can you name the song or the singer? Here's your short clip.
Too much of anything can make you sick. Even the good can be a curse.
Former girl band member.
Charlie Cole.
Yes. Right. Back of the net. 2 points.
Now we're at it.
Shane, a bit of pressure there. Music from 2009, long or short?
We better go short.
You have to go short. This American singer, known for image reinventions and musical versatility, went to number one with this song in December of 2009. Can you name her or the song?
Hey! I want your leather studded kiss and the saying all while you're alone.
Who's that?
Bad Romance.
The song is Bad Romance.
Yes, that'll do me. Yeah, we don't need the singer. You get 2 points for that. Lady Gaga is the singer, just for information. Didn't she go around with stakes all over some sort of mad coat with stakes? Anyway, 2-2. 2-2 it is. It's down to the wire. Back to you, David. News and current affairs from 2009. Are you going to go long or short?
Short.
Short, right. A handy new scheme enabling you to get around the capital, as in Dublin, with ease, was first launched in 2009. What was it? Here is your clue.
We've been very careful to make sure that they're busy locations, that there's a lot of people going past.
The Lewis.
It wasn't the Lewis. It was Dublin Bikes. A free bike scheme. Okay. Now, you're not gone yet, David, because Shane has to get something out of his final question to win today. If he doesn't, we're into a tie-break question. So, Shane, you're on two, David's on two. News and current affairs in 2009, long or short?
Long,
okay. A goal scored in the 17th minute of extra time knocked Ireland's hopes of qualifying for the World Cup in 2009. Can you name the player the controversy was about? Have a listen.
Did you think we would have gone on and won in penalties?
Yeah, if we got this far, we got through extra time, I think we could have done it.
How did the ref miss that handball?
How are you feeling now?
Shattered. Great performance. Proud of the team tonight.
Can you name the French player the controversy was about?
I think it was Thierry Henry.
It was Thierry Henry. Yes, he handled the ball not once but twice and the referee never saw it and we were knocked out. You get a point. Which makes you today's winner, Shane. David, sorry about that.
Congrats.
Yeah.
David,
enjoy the weekend. We're sending you out a couple of Radar Show mugs. Great talking to you. Thanks, David.
Cheers, thanks.
That's David Kilkenny in Ballyhawn. Shane Hogan. You are off to Brooks Hotel in Dublin.
That's amazing.
You and a person of your choice. And you can go to brookshotel.ie to see what's in store for you.
Fantastic. Thank you, William.
Drive safely on the way to music lessons. Great talking to you, Shane.
Thanks.
Well done.
God
see you.
Bye-bye.
The
Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Are you up for some Friday fun? Andrew Maxwell.
Yes.
That was
yes, the answer is
that was
yes.
addressed to you, not the audience, yes. not the listeners.
Yes,
good
the
to
answer
see
is yes, Ray.
The answer is yes, yeah.
I'm also quite keen on Thursday fun. Wednesday fun's quite nice as well.
I like a bit of alliteration. I think it's the, you know, the young people's presenter in me. Alliteration's good.
It's good.
Yeah,
it makes things roll off the tongue.
I wonder what the history of alliteration is. The Hampton Hotel. There's a bit of alliteration for you.
There's a little bit of Hampton Hotel. I am tonight.
Yeah, that's
just
where
the corner from here.
Yeah, yeah. The Hotspot and Greystones, no alliteration there.
No.
That's your tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Comedy Club, bit of alliteration there. And you can get all the details there. Comedyclub.ie.
Yes.
Great to see you. So you live in the UK.
I do, yes.
Right. So they've had
yes.
a stormy like 2 weeks or
yeah.
sort of 20 days. So how was it for you?
Well, when the Queen passed away, I tweeted a simple message and then at the end of it just said, enough said. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
I don't want people who are Republicans giving me crap about it. I don't want a royalist. I don't want anything further to do with it. You know, and that's it. Look, it's that sort of thing of when you grow up in a republic, monarchy is just so abstract and it's baffling by its nature.
It is.
But it's I said last night on stage, for Irish people, you've got to understand, the Queen dying is like, for Irish people, if Michael D, Bono and Mr. Tato all died.
Together.
Right. They were like in a charity rowing competition and they went down in the levee live on telly. That's
yeah.
it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's yeah. stuff matters to other people, and if it matters to them and it doesn't matter to you, well then let them have the field.
Okay.
You know.
Do you understand the monarchy and the royal family better now as a result of what's happened over the last 2 weeks?
No.
Like, you're still baffled by it.
No, I mean it's, you know, it's whatever. It's like, it's what they do. You know, it'd be like, I've lived over there a quarter of a century. So it'd be the equivalent of an Irish comedian who lived in, or an English comedian who lived in Ireland for 25 years, you know, banging on about how he doesn't understand the Ga. Well,
yeah.
maybe it's none of your
Nobody
business.
Cares.
Nobody cares
about your opinion. Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, Ray, in life, you get older, you realise sometimes discretion is the better part of valour. Right.
Keep your mouth shut, which you can't do because you're a comedian. You see,
yeah.
And I mean, you're a provocative comedian.
Yes, but it has to be.
So you have to provoke.
True, but it has for me to be talking about a provocative topic, depending what it is, I have to be interested in it.
Yeah, and informed.
And I'm just not really that interested in monarchy one way or another.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it's the same with like the dancing horses in the Olympics. I don't care. You know what I mean? People
archery.
Go, the rowing. You know,
Archery.
Well, I tried it once. It's actually quite hard.
Is it? Yeah.
It's quite hard. But no, I don't really care about archery.
Actually, no, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's, you know what I mean? It's like ice hockey. I'm sure it's good, but...
No interest.
I'm no interest. So yeah. I don't have any opinions on it.
Right.
Who's, you know, the, you know... Saskatchewan Tigers, or
we were watching a documentary on wall climbing,
right?
The other night, and that's an Olympic sport now.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yes,
amazing. Would you be interested in that sort of?
I've tried it. It is unbelievably hard.
Yes,
you have to have a particular wiry body shape,
and it uses every muscle, and joint in your body.
Yes, it and it's slow and difficult.
Yeah,
whereas I like a water park. Fast and easy, just send me down the tube.
It's about pure weight, gravity and water.
That's it. I like doing things that you could have a cocktail beforehand and it wouldn't
doesn't take from your performance.
Exactly.
In fact, it might improve it because you're more relaxed.
That's right. You're gonna hit the water.
Yeah.
You're gonna enter the water like a young gazelle. I don't think that's quite an expression, but yeah.
Neil was saying that when you told him your age, he was going, "Geez, I thought you were 21." <It's> like, people have that image of you, like as a young whippersnapper, as opposed to a gazelle.
Most people in Ireland, in there, if they think about me at all, they imagine that I'm 18 and I still live with my man, Dan Kilbarrick.
Like, do you not?
No, I'm 48-year-old father of four,
right?
With a beard and a business in Austria. But no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's probably stealing chomps out of the local shop and running away. Yeah. He's stealing apples from the orchard, that one.
Is the panel, how old is the panel?
Oh man, I don't know. It's probably about 15 years ago now since it was on.
It could have started 20 years ago. Could have.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily, dude.
Wow. We're getting old.
We've been getting old for a long time, Ray. Just only one of us
looks. That's the way it works. Only one of us. That's me. That's me.
You're the painting in my attic.
F off.
I mean, that was a terrible insult, Ray, but what a wonderful literal reference. Yeah. I mean, extraordinary bit of literature there.
Yeah, you haven't hit 50 yet, and that'll just, like that.
Yeah. But I exercise. I mean, you have to. I mean, you know, you get to our age, you've got to.
And particularly because you have a one-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a one-year-old and a five-year-old in the house.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That'll keep you young. Yeah, well, it'll certainly keep you stressed. So that's the main thing.
So how was it? Because I was 48 when we had our youngest, and you were around 47.
I'm 48.
You're 48, yeah. But you had one 47.
No, baby. Sorry, apologies.
I'll do the maths for you. So, did people say to you, "Oh, you're an old dad," or what? How did you feel about that, or did you think about it, give it a second thought?
But the thing is, I've done all three eras of dad.
Right.
I became a dad in my 20s, so I was a young dad.
Yes.
And then I had a kid in my mid-30s, which is standard dad.
Dad, right.
And now I've done old dad.
Geriatric dad.
Yeah. I've just pretty much done relentless dad.
Which dad would you prefer, given the choice?
I actually find it easier
at
this age. You don't sleep as much. You don't, like, I mean, I just remember being, like, although I was 26 when I became a dad the first time, I remember just being knackered all the time.
Mm.
But now, like, you just don't sleep as much when you get on. So, like, I find it easier.
It's odd because I think Mother Nature probably got that wrong, because in a way, you know, we're built to have children younger.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way, you know, nature would work.
That's right. Yeah, that's biology. Yeah.
However, as you get older, you're more comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
You know where you sit in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably better positioned to be a parent.
Well, I think you get older if you also get wiser as you get older, you learn to appreciate things more.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
And you can pass that on to your kids.
Yeah. And he also just gives you that extra, you know, little bit of patience. You know,
as you get older,
tantrum isn't going to last forever. This is fine. This tantrum's going to turn into a nap soon.
It will pass.
Yeah, it'll all pass. I'm just going to listen to a podcast while pushing you in this pram.
Yeah.
Until you never forget, like, the way is that baby asleep, and then their head gets sweaty and they're asleep.
Mm.
Weird, isn't it?
Just for your information, because I was reading some research the other day. And they did it on what's the best way to get a crying baby to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Movement.
Yeah.
Movement, as in you need to move them. Like,
yes.
Don't go down into wherever they are, the nursery, wherever. Take them out and sit down in a chair. That's not going to work.
Yeah. So you just got to get them about.
Yeah, get them about.
Sure. Put them in another room. Move them around.
Yeah. And then...
Yes.
There's nothing lovelier. And then they...
Oh. When they the stillness and the sweaty head, they are now asleep.
And then their little heart is synchronized with your big heart.
Oh, right. That's lovely. Let's start making greeting cards.
Yeah. Maybe not. So how was Edinburgh?
It was good. It was great to be back. Ostensibly, I'm in here talking about Galway Comedy Festival,
yes,
so I'm going to do my Edinburgh show there. So this year,
is called Krakatoa.
Krakatoa, Ray.
Right.
So it's an interactive show. So very potted history. Krakatoa was a really famous volcano that exploded in the late Victoria period, and it was during the time of the start of mass media with, you know, printing presses and the telegrams.
So it was the first big news story.
Global news
story.
It was the first close, and it was such a huge explosion and was so famous all around the world that the name Krakatoa for a while became an exclamation.
Uh-huh.
People used to say it, Krakatoa.
Yes, if you say like something that was...
Holy moly.
Yes, exactly. Krakatoa,
Said it, the way people used to say Gordon Bennett.
Yes, that's the way.
So I decided to bring that back. So the show, which will be on a guys, is me talking about all the chaotic world we're living in and all the rest of it and the various variables that we're living through, we all know about. And there is a projection behind me of an exploding volcano. And during the course of the show, if anybody for whatever reason shouts Krakatoa, the volcano explodes. There's a massive exploding sound. The stage is filled with smoke. And
is that a good idea?
It was you know what? It's just adding chaos.
It is. But you're like that's fine when you're at home in Kent, sober, and all that. Then you go into a room filled with people who have been drinking.
Yes, yeah, but that's it. And
there's always one, and that all he wants to do is shout Krakatoa.
That really did happen.
Yes, so what do you do then?
I just let him happen. Like, you know, just ride with it. You know, the whole point is I'm trying to get people to, if not enjoy chaos, at least roll with the chaos, because okay, there's plenty of chaos and there's more coming. You know, there was one night, one Saturday night during the Fringe, I told them, you know, I always tell the audience straight at the start that, you know, the rules of Krakatoa. Right. And straight away, like first 5 minutes. And every time it explodes, the smoke machines go off. And it, the stage, I was basically inside a cloud of smoke. And
that's costly as well. You have to pay for that. You know, like really, you didn't think this through, did you? Yeah, you didn't think it through.
But you know what? It was the quality of laugh. Like that audience, yeah, because I'm in the middle of the smoke cloud, right, telling them off. It's your only time you're wasting, yeah, right? Yeah. And they were just giggling like kids.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a sort of laugh you could ever get from a joke. They were just, they were, I was in charge and I was telling them off. And the more I told them off, the more naughty they got. And they're just, there were people just giggling, you know what I mean? Giggling into their jumpers. And
so it is working.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's fun. It's fun.
Right. If you're around, Andrew Maxwell is in the Hampton Hotel in Donnybrook tonight. Tomorrow night he's in the Hotspot in Greystones. Mm. He's also appearing at the Galway Comedy Festival, which is on at the end of October.
Yes.
The bank holiday weekend.
Yes, yeah, that whole weekend.
Great to see you. I forgive you for referring to how bad I look and my age and all that sort of thing. But I didn't
say you look bad. I said I look better, right?
I think you'll find you're 10 years younger than me. So come back to me. Come back to me when you're... Of course, I'll be 10 years. I'll be, that doesn't matter.
Oh, no. We're never going to catch up.
No, that's the way the world works, isn't it? Okay, that's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back on Monday. And a reminder there, if you're a fan of David Walliams, get them into us, the questions, ray@rte.ie. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you at 3 o'clock on Monday. Thanks, Andrew. Thank you.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.